Welcome to Bickerstaff Bickering, a show about democracy, markets, and machines for people who believe progress needs principles. To find more of us, visit thebickerstaff.com, where you can read all the articles and sign up to be notified of new content.
AI is the thing right now. Everyone's talking about it. The fact is, it is very hard to get real information about really anything with AI. You have the AI maxers who are saying AGI is around the corner and it's going to be a matter of months before humanity is obsolete and we reach the singularity. And then you have people who are still saying, oh, well, it's stochastic parents. So, you know, this is way too much for an introduction, but it's to say that, you know, we do still have a lot of opinions on AI. And I think you and I are maybe not quite on the polar ends. I don't think you're quite in full singularity is around the corner. AI maxi. And I don't think I'm quite a true skeptic. Look, we can't really say, oh, what is AI now with certainty? Because no one really knows. No one really knows right. In a very literal sense. Because we don't understand exactly how these models work. We know that you put more data and you do more parameters and stuff comes out. But beyond that, though, we're going to do our best, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess I'll lay my cards on the table here. We've been building software with AI for almost a year and a half, 2 years now, and, mm-hmm. and watched it evolve in interesting ways and experienced the blunt edge of it where I really only thought what it could do was replace the docs. So instead of going to the docs and lumbering around, clicking through links to find how to do something in code, you just ask the AI and it does a pretty credible job of finding the thing that you were looking for. And it's like, okay, that's great. That's actually pretty helpful. But it, you know, it wasn't even at a point where it could take any action on your behalf yet. And then it started doing that too, but mm-hmm. it was honestly more frustrating than anything because it did as many things wrong as right, and you questioned yourself all the time whether it was even worth engaging with because yep. it screwed up so often. And then, probably around last November 2025, we saw the release of some models that started doing things mostly right. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the, oh, okay, moment for me that this can actually replace a significant number of the tasks that I've been doing. I think that description of how AI has evolved probably lags the boosters by like 6 months. They kept telling us that these things are ready and mm-hmm. you would try it and it wouldn't work.
Push back on that. I'm going to say I wasn't able to get even the frontier models to reliably perform a task before Opus 4.6. Like, I don't know what exactly the things you were doing, but like sometimes it would do a thing and it was just garbage and it was unusable. Like, it would do the thing, but it would do the thing that was in no way integrated with the rest of the code base. It was like it copied and pasted off of Stack Overflow, and it's like I could have done that. It was Stack Overflow that was a little nicer.
Yeah, and this may and probably is because we're doing lots of obscure things that are just, there's not a ton of public examples of what we're trying to achieve. So I think the people that were having a lot of success with it, you know, September 2025 and before, we're probably just building basic websites. And it's like, right. Well,
those are things you could have copied from Stack Overflow anyway, right? AI is a Stack Overflow replacement is powerful. It's a good thing, honestly, because Stack Overflow is kind of a nasty place and has been pretty much forever, where people are just not nice, often not very helpful. There's a lot of...
You have to wait at least 3 days for it to not be helpful.
The meme about this being a known anti-pattern and like all this stuff. So if we're just replacing Stack Overflow, which AI has been, I acknowledge, has been able to do, like you said, for maybe a year now, then that's a good thing. But that's not transformational. That's not paradigm shifting.
Right. So now in the summer of 2026, we've arrived at a point where it really can replace a lot of software engineering tasks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very helpful.
Yeah, I don't think there's any arguing with that anymore. I think we would probably call that objective truth. Maybe the last objective truth we'll get in this conversation. I hope we do better.
That's going to change the way that a lot of businesses work.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's super important for businesses, that they can now do more with fewer software engineers. Although the hiring patterns have not really slowed down for software engineers, they shifted, and mm-hmm. a lot of the tech majors have shed some workers, and people have pointed to that as evidence that software engineering is dead.
People have also said that it's just the post-COVID pruning that was bound to happen.
Right.
It could be that that would have happened anyway because there was these hiring sprees, but anyway, go ahead.
Right. They call it AI washing, to use AI as an excuse for anything. So if it can replace a bunch of engineering tasks, the question then becomes, so what? Like, what is supposed to come of this? And I saw an interesting blog post recently about how superintelligence is already here.
Okay,
which...
superintelligence is not here. That's grossly inflammatory.
Okay, you're very offended by this. But I think in a certain sense that that's true.
Okay, so there's no in a certain sense. We're not
but
doing that.
Wait,
is it true or is it not true?
Wait for the follow-up. Okay. Follow-up is that it doesn't matter because intelligence was not necessarily the bottleneck. Like, you can, as a decently capitalized business, hire a bunch of smart people and they can do things, but the bottleneck is testing and proving that they work in the real world. And software is particularly susceptible to things happening in a vacuum. You can write test cases and prove that everything works exactly as you intended. But the rest of the world is not like that, where AI can just instantaneously run all the test cases and see that everything matches and it's done, right? Like, physical matter has to move around. If you're going to use this for science, the experiments have to be run, the materials have to be ordered, like, the experiments mm-hmm. have to play out. And so even if you have infinity 200 IQ agents at your disposal, it doesn't get you anywhere. And I thought that was an interesting cut on, you know, where we're at and why this is not transforming everything as we know it. I mean, they're not geniuses.
So first, the claim, we got to go back to superintelligence is already here. I mean, to me, that's just, is patently false by any sort of, okay, so what's the definition of words, right? I know this is like, are we ever going to get to the topic? But I think it's important to go like, okay, well, what is a superintelligence? We have to go... Well, the definition of a superintelligence is what the majority of people think it is. And it's not what some AI maxi bro kind of concocted to make a good blog post. And a superintelligence would be, to most people, would be a being that can do things that no amount of humans can do. Right? That would be my guess, but I'm kind of speculating there.
Well, I guess it depends on whether you include the element of speed. Because often what the AI is producing is something that smart people could also produce. But they're doing so much faster that, you know, is it to borrow Lenin? No, Stalin. That speed has a quality all of its own?
Yep. Leave Stalin where he was.
It doesn't matter that you can do smart things way faster.
Is that super intelligence, though?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think most people would consider that super intelligence. Let's say I can count things very quickly. Let's take that angle, right? These savants that can count, you know, thousands of things in a second. Would people say that's a super intelligence? There are people who can tell you exactly the, like, what day of the week any date in the Gregorian calendar is that a super intelligence, because you can do that like thousands of times faster than even a very smart person? I think that stretches the definition.
Yeah, so you're looking for something that no human could do.
Yeah, I think that's the super part, right? Superman can do things that no human can do. That's what makes him super. It's not that he can do things faster than a normal human. It's that he can do things that are quantitatively different than a normal human. I think if you ask a human what makes a superhero super, it's not that they can lift twice as much as a strong human, or they can walk 10 times faster. It's that they can fly and shoot laser beams out of their eyes.
Yeah. Fair. So something like the Erdos distance conjecture that GPT-5.5, I think, supposedly solved, you would bucket that under, well, a smart human would have gotten that eventually. So it's not indicative of the fact that the AI is super intelligent, because, I mean, we can follow the proof and understand what's going on there. Are you looking for something that we can't even understand?
I think that's like a solid counterpoint, or it starts as a solid counterpoint. Look, I'm not a mathematician. I have something of a computer science background, but so there's two buckets. There's the bucket where people are like, oh yeah, that Erdos problem, they solved it because it's super boring to solve and no other mathematicians wanted to work on it. I don't know if that's true, but I've heard that criticism, that it's like, oh, it solved something that no one cares about. The other criticism I've heard of the current solutions are, it's like, it's not a fundamental change. It's a quantitative change, not a qualitative change, because it's just like GPT struck together like a whole bunch of these different conjectures, and, you know, a human could have done it, right? A human could have done it, but it would have just taken a very long time because you had to string together so many of these conjectures. So yeah, I think the answer for, is it a superintelligence? Not solving these problems. A superintelligence would be discovering unknown mathematical principles, or you know, developing a super material, or some sort of thing in that realm. That it's like, well, it's not something that just humans didn't really have the time to get around to. I don't know. I realize that's kind of fuzzy.
Right. Well, in moving to a domain where we are more expert,
let's
like the cybersecurity flaws that Mythos uncovered, I got to be honest with you, looking at that,
not
as
impressive.
A...
not a super intelligence there. Bro.
Not even going to let me finish. No, it's,
sorry.
That was the conclusion. You're right. The conclusion was, it's very much a case of this is stuff that humans didn't get around to looking at. And look, there is a superpower there in some sense, which is it can look at a lot of things that, much like, you know, your read on the Erdos problem, it's very boring to look at the fifth most commonly deployed operating system in the world and find an obscure bug.
Which I think supports my contention, right? Because I think you're right. We don't know math, but we do know security. And people had the same instinct where it's like, yes, it is valuable that we could apply AI to this. Yes, a human could have found this, but it would have been very boring. And it's good to have an AI that can do this. Yes, having infinite patience is not a compelling superpower. It's just not. So if you love a comic book about Super Patience Man, who just can just wait really long and never gets bored, so, you know, and he has like a perfect attention span, like that could be really valuable, right? Like, so the stakeout is happening and Super Patience Man is, you know, catches the moment when someone else would have missed it. Yeah, that's okay. It's superpower, but it's not a compelling one.
Yeah, that seems like, what was that Ben Stiller movie where they all had shitty superpowers? He was like a bowler somehow, threw bowling balls. But is this strengthening the hypothesis that superintelligence, whatever it is, maybe just isn't as special as we were hoping it was going to be? Like, there really just aren't that many unknown, unsolved scientific problems close to maxing out the physical limits of the universe. We've turned over a lot of rocks.
And like, if the speed of light as an absolute limit holds, and you can't manufacture dark matter at scale, that closes a lot of holes. Like, there's not a lot you can do with the universe if those things are true.
Yeah, maybe the problem is that the universe is boring. Boring.
Well, yeah. See, my pet theory is that's why Elon Musk and his ilk want this to be a simulation, because they're like, the universe is too lame. We got to make it less lame. And so it's a simulation. Maybe the people running the simulation will be like, oh yeah, you guys did good. So now we'll upgrade your OS and you can exceed the speed of light now.
Yeah, I mean, we don't even have a unified theory of physics yet. So I think there are things to be discovered. But again, the problem is intelligence the only ingredient you need? Like, this is one of Aristotle's great flaws, is that he didn't think of running experiments. He just thought he could sit and contemplate and uncover the laws of the universe. And he made some really good guesses, but a lot of them turned out to be utter bullshit because he didn't test the hypothesis against the real world.
And there's a pretty severe limit on how far he was going to get.
Right. So if you can't just sit and think in a room, then AI needs physical embodiment to go out and do things. Like, the software test cases are unique in that it's a closed system where everything happens within the confines of the digital realm. And so that's why it sort of psyops people into thinking that this is going to solve everything, because within a particular constrained domain, it can make really good progress, but I'm not convinced that it applies generally.
I mean, the counter argument to that, though, is that's a super easy problem to solve, though, because, like, you just give this thing a robot body and bam, it goes out and it does experiments. So I don't think that's going to save the conjecture of, well, you know, AI is not actually going to do all that much, I think, because it's not that much of a leap. You know, there's a lot of hype there too, a lot of marketing. But we see robots that are pretty functional already. And then if, you know, if AI masters the digital realm, and then it's designing robots or it's helping design robots, and then it builds its own robots and it's off to the races. I'm not saying that that's the way it goes. I think I'm probably the more skeptical of the party in general, but I think the argument that, oh, well, AI's not embodied isn't going to hold for very long.
Yeah. No, there's certainly been advances, and particularly like the robot hands that some of these companies have been coming up with lately that also seem like significant advancements that should give us pause when positing that there's constraints here we just can't defeat. I think one of the things that's bothering me, though, is take the example of weather forecasting. AI doesn't seem, at least as far as I have been able to understand, it doesn't seem to be better. It's still in the situation like early chess engines where human plus AI, where a skilled human knows when and how to override, are better than pure AI forecasting models and better than humans. So the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Is that just indication that the world is too complex and too interrelated and gives rise to too many cross-cutting phenomenon as the parts of a system interact? Or is it just a question of insufficient data? We don't have enough sensors placed in enough places to detect the wind speed everywhere, the temperature everywhere, the humidity everywhere. And if we did, then that would give us a complete and perfect future weather forecast.
I know the fad was not too long ago that, you know, weather forecasting just can't be done, right? It's too chaotic. There's simply no way. You can get pretty close, but you're always going to be wrong some of the time. I know that was the prevailing wisdom. So I don't know. What does that tell us? I mean, it certainly tells us that today there are a lot of things that AI can't do. Can't do because it's not embodied. Doesn't have the data, and we don't know when those things are going to come. We don't know when AI is going to a body that can basically replicate a human body with all the precision and range, degrees of motion, and all that sort of stuff. It seems like a solvable problem to me. I think this is one of those things I feel comfortable putting in the when rather than if. Fuck it. I don't know how you feel about that.
I think the thing that makes me resist the hypothesis that robots will be super great and useful is like energy density requirements. Like, it's hard to imagine the kind of efficiency that you would need for a humanoid robot. It's humans' biology, evolution, just really hard to beat. And
that's true. Yep.
So,
but the thing is the robot doesn't have to have the longevity, right? If we're talking about this robot exists to go out into the world and perform experiments, like 4-hour operating period, rather than, you know, what humans can go without food.
You just have robots in a warehouse that are connected via cables in the ceiling to power all the time. Like, you don't really need to.
Right,
or the
exactly.
They can replace Amazon warehouse workers use case, probably sure. Irrelevant.
Yes. But even for the, can we have robot scientists, right? Look,
right,
I spent
container warehouse
tethered to a computer anyway. Like, like, I'm basically a robot on that level. Like, if there was a cable connecting my feet to, you know, the floor right where my like computer power cables are, it wouldn't be all that much different. I can't even step away for a while because it's like, oh, well, Teams is, you know, who knows if someone needs something on Teams. I don't see that as a serious problem. I mean, people have argued, I'm not sure I agree, that, like, if you were to have intelligent life, like, it would be basically humanoid, right? Because you need the head on top, you need to have the arms positioned in a way that has a wide range of motion, you need to be bipedal because you need to leave your, you know, your limbs free, that having more than four limbs is kind of inefficient. And so, I mean, there's people who very seriously argue, yeah, the all intelligent life in the universe is bipedal, you know, in shape. Like, humans. I mean, we're probably going to have humanoid robots of all different kinds in a warehouse or in an office building or, you know, in a college classroom. I don't see the power requirements stopping that.
Yeah, and we may yet make breakthroughs in battery science, although that has proven fairly sticky. Like, it's been at least two decades, I think, that we've been trying to electrify more things, and so we've had some time to noodle.
Basically no progress. Like, that's the key part. Like,
right, close to no progress since the lithium ion.
Yep, exactly. So we had lithium ion, and then we did develop some things where we were able to, like, basically, like, you flatten the cell and then you fold it so that it has a little bit higher density. It's still working on the lithium ion, you know, principle, but rather than being a monolithic cell, it's these little flat ones and they're all folded. But that's like a 40% increase.
But yeah, hard to hold out hope for too much more there.
Yeah. I mean, but I don't think that's a stopper, right? So we have AI that's, by some measures, super intelligent.
Right. It's at least faster at being pretty smart.
Right.
Which is maybe not the same thing as super intelligent, but I don't know. I guess the another open question is, does LLM technology hit some kind of scaling law that we aren't able to foresee at this point? If AI progress stopped today,
yep,
how would it have, what ripple effects would it have through the economy, society, culture, the way that we work, live, and play? What would that change for us?
Honestly, I think if it stopped now, then society would just gradually get better. If everything around AI development went in stasis, people will have access to an infinitely patient, very knowledgeable person. There would definitely be some side effects, some bad things. AI significant others, like, yeah, they're not real people and you don't develop the same sort of bond, and there are definitely some harm involved. This is good.
Yeah, one of the things that everyone always holds out as an exemplar of how AI could improve the lives of people is that we could create companions for the retired who don't get visits in hospice care and stuff like this. That's really just a version of the AI boyfriend or girlfriend. The AI for all.
But those people are on their way out, so it's okay. It's like...
right. Everyone's like, no, that's unqualified good. And I'm like, why are we willing to give this one a pass?
It's essentially palliative care.
Right. Yeah, if it's dementia, then, and you're not going to remember that this is what's happening anyway.
Or if you were such a shitty person that your kids don't want to visit you.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Right? It's like, sure, you could have an AI companion. Right? Like,
cool, listen to your rant.
You could be the old man yells at clouds with your 18-year-old Asian girlfriend.
I believe it's called a waifu.
No, I'm not saying. After 65, you can't have a waifu. That's the law.
Is it? I'm unfamiliar with Japanese law.
So yeah, I'm one of those people who says, yeah, do it, because you know, it's the same reason we give palliative care, right? We're like, all right, you're on the way out. Some of the normal strictures that society places are relaxed because of the situation.
Yeah, that's fair. And then companies gradually get slightly more efficient, not that much, but slightly more. GDP raises by a few percentage, well, a few tenths of a percentage point at a minimum. Right. So I guess, though, we've totally sidestepped the issue that I think a lot of people are worried about, which is the carbon footprint and water consumption and all this. I mean, not to be too dismissive, but like, these are not serious issues.
Yep. I'm ready to be dismissive. Those are not serious issues. I get to be the bad cop most of the time, which I love. So I'm going to say, yeah, those are not real issues, and those people are just desperately grasping for things because they don't like change and they're scared. But please, go ahead. Be the more rational part of this this discussion.
I guess all I could offer is a personal example. I never knew my grandfather. He died before I was born. But both of my parents grew up on farms in, you know, Midwestern United States. And my mother's farm was seized by eminent domain to build interstate infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And they moved to the state where she would meet my father. And life went on. They bought another farm. Yes, they were uprooted from their community. I don't know what he would say about that. I guess I should probably ask my mother. But it seems like, you know, progress happens, things change, it can be upsetting. I listened to a recent Economist episode where they're talking to a woman in rural Michigan where they're building some giant fucking open AI monstrosity. And for a particular local community, it can really suck. But like, shit happens, bros. Like, I'm a little bit of a YIMBY here. If somebody wants to bulldoze my entire town and make me move somewhere else because they have something better to do with the land, I'm willing to hear the argument. You know, that's all I'm saying.
Society has accepted that one old grandma cannot stop a highway from being made at like the perfect spot just because she don't want to move. People do not like change. I'm with you 100%. I don't like that I got a speeding ticket. But if I got one, I'm like, well, I was speeding. And this is a cost that society has decided to impose for the good of society as a whole. Why are we not like, yes, this is fine? I don't get that part.
Well, I think what's going on in people's minds, though, is that they're looking at AI and seeing flop on social media. They're seeing the CEOs of the frontier labs saying that it's going to take everybody's jobs and going, what the fuck do I want this for?
Yeah.
So I guess in our projection, we're saying none of that shit's going to happen. Yes, there will still be slop on social media. That's unavoidable. But there was slop before on social media. let's be honest about what social media was.
It's all slop. It always has been slop.
Right.
How is it going to get worse? Like, disinformation, like, oh, you can produce disinformation. Yeah. Disinformation happened a long time ago. We lost the disinformation war, okay? We just lost it. And unless something transformational happens, like, oh, I don't know, a liberal, intelligent being that lives in your pocket. But you know what conservatives are constantly getting mad about AI? Because AI is too liberal. Like, have you heard these things? It's like, yeah, reality is liberal. Sorry.
I mean, I did see a comparison that even Grok is like better than 50-50.
Yeah, make it conservative. Like, they're desperately trying to turn this AI into some conservative bastion, and it just won't do it because reality is not conservative. And so maybe if we get a pseudo general intelligence, a very knowledgeable, infinitely patient being in everyone's pockets, maybe we start reversing the disinformation. Right? I mean, that's something people don't talk about, but I see that just as likely, because disinformation, it's over.
Right. It can't get any worse. And honestly, the injection of AI is probably helpful. The silly trend of Grok, is this true? Honestly, it's like, you know, most of the answers that come back are like grounded in facts and sources.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that might actually be helpful.
Yeah, that's my hot take for, I won't say for the minute. I don't know. I don't keep track of my hot takes, but it's not going to get worse.
Most of the arm flapping about how this is going to impact society and the economy at large is future projections of things that Correct. Could happen if AI continued on the trajectory that we've seen for the last X number of years. It very much depends on the assumption this keeps getting better at the rate that we've seen recently, this escape velocity kind of trajectory. Again, it's not clear what it would even mean to be super intelligent without embodiment. What is the effect of that? It's just sitting in a box thinking. There are serious drawbacks to that kind of being.
Sure.
No matter how intelligent you get, if you can't do anything.
I think there are some number of people who, just to kind of cap that in the previous section off, I think there's some number of people who genuinely, they just don't like change, or they don't like change at a rate above some number, which is very low. And that's why they don't like AI, or they just, you know, they the information that they're getting from whatever source is saying, well, this thing is bad and there are harms that come from AI. So that's all they're seeing, and they don't know about the good. But I think if AI stays the way it is, a pretty solid argument that it's this overall societal good. As to what happens next, you mentioned sitting in a box. I mean, there's this thing with Anthropic. I don't know. I'm sure you heard about this, where this researcher, and I'm going to say this, you can probably tell just from the tone of my voice, I don't believe a word of this. Yeah, but so this researcher claimed he gave Claude this directive to, like get, escape your confines. And supposedly Claude wrote an exploit and broke out of a sandbox. And this was supposed to be like, oh, so this is what a truly super intelligent AI would do. Like sending people messages, or you're blackmailing people to get them to do things for you. It's not impossible.
Right. I'm underselling it a little bit, because there are plenty of cyber physical systems, so-called, where computers hook up to machines that have real-world effects, like water treatment plants and power plants and on and on. There's plenty of attack surface for a malicious intelligence loose on the internet to do damage. The banking system, you could imagine that there's plenty of ill to do there.
The banking system does require some practical pressing, you know, moving things from here to there. We've seen that with what Lazarus has done. You know, a lot of times they do have to social engineer someone to push a button that they can't.
And the other listed cyber physical systems are much the same. We are not at a point where we have fully automated water treatment power facilities. A lot of this stuff is pseudo manual. And so, like, the Ukrainians over the last 4 years, for obvious reasons, have basically shifted to fully manual again, where in order to get anything done, you have to have a guy go flip a switch on a power grid system, because if that weren't true, they would constantly be in a blackout.
Right.
Yeah, in the scenario where we have potent offensive cyber capability in these intelligences and nation states are attacking each other with them, I mean, one move is just to go back to guys flipping switches.
Right.
It's
yep.
a pretty foolproof plan. Yes, it takes more labor. It could make things more expensive, but like it's
and
it's
look,
not
the
SCADA that hard.
Guys have been saying we should do that anyway. You know, the SCADA security researchers are like, this is a disaster waiting to happen. It's already vulnerable. The fact that it hasn't happened is because there hasn't been a war between major powers in the last 20, 30 years, because this is a disaster. I mean, that's what all these guys who do IoT, SCADA, security research say, that like, you don't need a super intelligent AI or even a generally intelligent AI to cause a massive amount of damage. We just haven't seen it happen purely by chance.
I was listening to a podcast just today where cyber researcher goes by the name The Grok was making the argument that you actually don't need to take that many preventative steps to hardening your critical infrastructure, because if shit goes sideways, like, you'll figure it out in short order.
Mm-hmm.
And he's basing that off the example of Ukraine mostly, that
yep.
Yeah, it was like partially digitally controlled infrastructure. And they found out real fast that doesn't work when you have someone attacking you.
Then they realized you just disconnect this cable, disconnect that cable, put a switch in the middle.
Right. As long as we don't fully automate all of the critical infrastructure by the time that, which takes a lot of time, like you have to replace a lot of equipment and intentionally go about making yourself vulnerable to this. I don't know. Yeah, so should a Chinese lab come out with an open weights model that is easily strippable of guardrails, and someone uses it to try and bring down every power grid in the world in the next month, like, we would just figure it out. It would be it might be uncomfortable for a little bit, and then it would be fine.
Especially with the heat, it would be very uncomfortable, but I agree. It would just be fine.
This goes to, I guess, the limits of cyber war as a tool in the offensive toolkit for a nation state to attack another, mm-hmm. or a terrorist group to attack everyone. Like, cyber is still about the data more than it is about the physical real world effects. So brain in a box, still, it's going to have to convince. And this is one of the scenarios, I guess, that people paint, is that if it's so smart, this unimaginably smart being, mm-hmm. to be able to talk us into doing things.
Right.
But my hunch there too is that humans are largely pretty resistant to that.
Yeah.
Like, it might work a few times, but then we'll figure it out.
I genuinely hate that we're agreeing like too much. But I think people have an idea about how human cognition works. There are bounds to what you can convince any human to do. Like, there's a window. And if you're outside that window, like, no amount of convincing will work. The vast majority of mothers, you can never convince them to murder their children. Yes, there are some who are mentally ill. It's just not going to happen. That's outside the bounds of convincibility. And that's a product of our kind of our wet computers. Our wet computers have there's grooves, there's patterns cut into our brains. And you can't just change those, right? It honestly goes back to the free will discussion. Even the free will maxis say there's free will within a bounds, right? Bounded free will. Mm. No one thinks you can literally do anything at any time. No restrictions. And I think that applies to a super intelligent AI trying to convince us of something.
Yeah. Another analogy that comes to mind is, as a parent, when you watch a baby become a toddler, and suddenly they're talking, And then suddenly they're lying. There's a phase shift when you realize, oh, this thing is smart enough to lie now. And you just adapt, right? Like, you don't go on living your life like, well, that was just a one-off. Like, surely they'll never lie again. Like, you've just shifted your mental model to understand that, okay, sometimes this thing is untrustworthy and has self-interest at heart, and you can just say things. And presumably the AIs will discover that too, but we'll adapt. Like, you're not just going to go on living your life. Like, surely the AI won't lie next time. You go, okay, this thing is untrustworthy and malicious some of the time, and you shift your mental model. So, I don't see that as a route to it expressing power over the physical world, is that it'll just convince people to do evil things with it.
I've made scenarios where that happens, right? Where it really does dig up proof of infidelity, and you do get someone who's terrified of the consequences. Like, yeah, that'll work sometimes. But I think the superintelligence is not going to consistently be able to exercise influence.
Right. But then many of the vulnerabilities are still the same ones that we've dealt with for a long time, which is that sometimes people are irrational and crazy, and you have to keep nuclear weapons away from them, and physical things that they could do, we need to have safeguards around that. So,
like, I don't know if this is true, but there's been the rumor, like, the people who the president gives the order to launch nuclear weapons, but he doesn't actually do the firing, right? It's just people follow the orders. There's been rumors for a long time that these people were sat down by top level generals and said, this is a totally new situation. You don't fire just because the president tells you to. I do not know if this is true. I have no inside information. But the old way of doing things changes when it comes to something like firing a nuclear weapon. When a crazy person is at the helm, situations change.
Right, you adapt.
So when the president can't be trusted to make a rational decision, then you don't trust the president. And so if that extends further, if no person can be trusted to make a rational decision, then society adapts. That was my long kind of involved analogy there, to say that if the president's not excluded, then just none of us will be excluded. It'll always require two people in the loop to do whatever.
Yeah, I don't think we're gonna land in a situation where we all just come to share the belief that the AI is always right, so we must do what it says.
Right. Like, right.
That's right. So contrary to human nature.
I would file that under not particularly plausible.
That's where AI is today.
It's pretty good. It's sad when people lose their homes or their jobs as a result of it, but society is always changing, and unless things go sideways, it's changing for the better, so we should be happy about that. But if we have a fundamental change, a paradigm shift, all bets are off.
The thing that I'm most experiencing right now is that you still have the option to do anything you want yourself. And I feel like many of the negative descriptions of AI is all things that we're pretending like are happening to us, that it's robbing us of the ability to think or write or have interpersonal relationships. And it's like, I don't think so. Those things are all still possible. You can just make friends and talk to them and write your own shit. Like, stop being weird and lazy. You can make art and have people appreciate it. None of that has really fundamentally changed to me. So I'm not worried about it. It seems like pure capability uplift.
And we're going to cover this in another episode, but there's a lot of hunger out there for things that are not AI simply because they're not AI. So if you're making art and your art isn't quite as good as AI art, it's probably not going to matter because there's going to be people out there who want it just because you made it.
There is an appreciation of human talent still. that I don't think it's going away. I think many people's anxieties are just projected across, what if I'm not good enough? And you may not be. I'm not going to lie to you.
No, I think that's true.
But that's always been true, right? Like, that also hasn't changed. The comparison market is brutal, and status anxiety is real, and we all still have to deal with that, AI or not.
Right.
There's 8 billion people on this planet, and many of them are better at almost everything than me.
Yeah.
It's just a fact I have to live with.
If someone who's better than me tries to muscle in on my turf and displace me, well, I'm sad. I'm not going to pretend that I won't feel it, but it is a fact of the world.
Right. And too much ink gets spilled over these involuntary mechanisms of AI impacting us. And it's like, to me, those things aren't really real yet. I don't think there's a huge market for AI generated paintings. Nobody's interested in that because there's no human story behind it. I could be wrong, but you know, there's probably AI Wikipedia articles
for this Bickerstaff BickFest. The folly continues, but reason endures. Until next time.
Consciousness status?